Good morning. Thank you for Pastor Brad Baum for having me here. I'm excited to share to you my brief testimony and my ministry in Thailand. I graduated from BJU last year, and I'm looking forward to go back, return to my home country, Thailand. I was born and raised in Bangkok, Thailand, and the Lord led me to the state for my higher education. And I'm done with my education, and I'm looking forward to reach my own people with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited to be here at Emmanuel Bible Church. I count it a blessing and a privilege. And I want to share to you about what is in my heart. Always is about evangelism and discipleships. If you can, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. So today I want to take a closer look into Scripture, what has been called the Great Commission. I know all of you have been heard so many times of the Great Commission, but sometimes it's good for now and then to refresh ourselves and to remind ourselves of this importance of the Great Commission. I know all of you are using ESV, and Pastor, he also emailed me, but I'm used to King James. I hope that you can follow along with me as well. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So may we look to the Lord together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this special season of Christmas that is coming. May we experience your peace and joy. We ask your blessing to be upon us, even this morning, O Lord, as we look to you, and may you bless your word to our soul. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I want to take a closer look into the Scriptures, what has been called the Great Commission. As you know, this morning I've been sharing to you about Thailand. Thailand is in Southeast Asia, which is between China and India. The country of Thailand is in the 1040 window, which is the term referring to the group of people who are living in the countries that have the highest concentration of unreached people. Even though Christianity came to Thailand for almost 200 years, Thailand is still an unreached mission field. So there's a challenge ahead of us. We want to evangelize. We want to disciple the Thai people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Thailand is still an unreached mission field. What is an unreached mission field mean? Unreached mission field is a place where Christ is not named, where Christianity has not been penetrated. There's no felt presence in their culture, in their societies, and they don't know who Jesus Christ is, and they don't know who is a Christian there, and they have no idea what is the gospel is all about. They don't have much exposure to the gospel. So my heart cry is to see a great harvest in Thailand. I want to see a great revival. But the entirety of the gospel, the entirety of the Great Commission need to be obeyed. Most work in Thailand is social work, and people there go and build hospitals and do social works, but not so much on preaching the true gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you want to see the great harvest in Thailand, the entirety of the gospel needs to be obeyed. So I want to share with you this morning about the Great Commission. The Great Commission involved two dimensions: discipleship and evangelism. So this is the call to the church. We're not only to evangelize, but we also need to disciples in the church. I believe in the Biblical Ministry Worldwide. That's where I'm affiliated with, Biblical Ministry Worldwide, which is located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. I believe in their statement of purpose. It has well summarized. It says that our purpose is to serve the Lord and local churches by establishing reproducing churches through evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. If you want to know how to start a church, you simply have to do three things: evangelism, discipleship, and leadership development. If you do these three components, you will see a church start in our local area, in our local regions. So this morning, I want to look at the first component is discipleship. It said, teach all nations. The phrase there in the Bible said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations here can also be translated as disciples all nations. So our mission is to go all around the world and to disciple all nations for Jesus Christ. The task before us is not simply announcing the good news of Jesus Christ, but the task before us is to make disciples of all nations. We have the church have a big responsibility is to go to all the world, to all the nations, and to disciple them in Christ Jesus. So the focus then is not so much on going to all the nations. The focus here is not even on baptizing or on teaching, but the focus is on making disciples of Jesus Christ. So this morning I have a question to ask you. Are you a disciple of our Lord and Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So the focus then is not on going to all the nations, but making disciples. As you go, make disciples. So we are all missionaries in our workplace, in our school, in our business place, in our marketplace. We are all missionaries. We are all have a part to do, to be a witness, to be a salt, and to be a light, to shine the gospel of Jesus Christ so that the people who is working with us, they can see Christ in us. He can see the image of Christ is in us. So we are the bearers of Christ Jesus. When they see us, they see Jesus Christ, and they want to follow us because we have Christ in us. As you go, make disciples, and every Christian is a disciple. The use of the term disciples can be found throughout all the scriptures. A disciple here being a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. A disciple is an imitator of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are in a process of learning about Jesus Christ. We are every day following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is a process. It's not a one-time event when the day that we accept Jesus Christ, but it's a process as we walk with God day by day. We begin to transform into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The principle of discipleship can be found throughout all the scriptures. In the New Testament, we found Jesus Christ. He has thousands of disciples, and he spent primarily with the 70, 12, and 3, and he spent time with them for about three years. So our responsibility is not to evangelize the Thai people, but our responsibility is to disciple them so that they can grow and that they can become a genuine followers of Jesus Christ. And we need to train them in Christian service so that they can become a witness to their own people. So I want to see this thing happening in Thailand, and it should also be happening in our life as well. It is much more important than class or the series of personal Bible studies. Discipleship is a one-on-one time together of how to live a Christian life. It must be done outside of the classroom. So discipleship is engaging one-on-one and how we live a life, a Christian life together. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it said, "And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So our responsibility is to commit the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to faithful men, who in turn will pass on, who commit the gospel to other people, so that from generation to generation, the gospel will be passed on to the next generation as well. As part of the disciples, I want to look at the hindrance of Thai discipleship. The first hindrance of Thai discipleship is many have remained nominals. Most Thai people do not enjoy the upbringing as a Christian. Many of them came from a very strong Buddhist animistic background, and many of them still remain a nominal Christians because they don't have a strong discipleship. They don't have a strong teaching of the Bible. Many pastors, they have the Bible in their hand, but they don't have good theology, and they do not have good training, so that they cannot know how to teach the Bible to them. So Christian in Thailand is remain a nominal in Thailand. And I believe the second reason is that the Thai people do not take discipleship and evangelism seriously because of the Thai values. They take life easy. So when they receive the gospel, they take it easy, and they're not very serious in discipleship and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I believe discipleship is a process. It should begin immediately after a person accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So Jesus Christ does not begin when we go to Sunday school class, but discipleship begins immediately after we accepted Jesus Christ. At that moment, we became a disciple of Jesus Christ. We began a lifelong learning, a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. So after the Thai people, after they place their saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must immediately disciple them. We must immediately teach them about the Bible, who Christ is, who God is. We must teach them about the love of Christ, that Christ is their hope, that Christ can offer them forgiveness, because in Thailand, they have no concept of hope because of karma. They must accept the karma of their life. But Jesus Christ, He came, He offered hope. The gospel came and offered forgiveness. God can forgive you of your karma. God can forgive you of your sin. So discipleship is a lifelong learning, from being a selfish sinner to a selfless servant of God. So God is transforming us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second hindrance is that Thai Christians' former worldview, belief, and practices have been deeply ingrained in their life. So the worldview and their practices have been deeply ingrained in their life. It's hard to get rid of that. It's hard to remove that. So we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will bring about a genuine change in their life as they obey the Word of God with the power of God, Holy Spirit. It's not through religion. I go to Thailand, I said, Christianity is not a religion. Buddhism is a religion. But Christianity is a relationship between man and God. Jesus Christ did not come to offer us a religion, but Jesus Christ, He came to offer Himself. He wants to have fellowship with us, and He loved you, and He wants to talk with you, and He wants you to have intimate fellowship with Him. And this is the challenge. And as we disciple them, their former worldview, belief, practice will gradually change as we teach the Bibles, and that they will know God more intimately, and when they apply the biblical truth in their life. So the Bible is the answer. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible has the power to transform one life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul admonished the believer. He said, put off the old man with his deed and put on the new man. So the concept here is to put off the sinful nature and to put on the new man, which is in Christ, Jesus Christ. So discipleship is a process. We constantly have to willingly, voluntarily, to put off our old man and put on the new Christ. And this is the responsibility on our part. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it said, for they themselves shew of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the Thessalonians, and the Apostle Paul here is portraying a clear picture of the Thessalonians who demonstrate a genuine change in their life, how they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So Jesus Christ, He's not only our Savior, but He's only our Lord. God wants us to turn to God from idols. So repenting is a 180 turning from sin and turning toward God. So my desire is to see the Thai people. They are worshiping the idols. They have ear that cannot hear, have eye cannot see. And many of them go and offer incense and offer candles. But these idols cannot help them. They are worthless. But our God that we are serving, He is a living God. And He is a true God. He's a God of the Creator who created the heaven and the earth. And that's why we celebrate this Christmas, because He is a living God. He is alive, and He is in us. The Bible tells us that the sorcerer in Acts chapter 19, verse 19, after they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, when they hear the gospel message, they brought the objects of worship, and they voluntarily bring to the apostles to be burned. So they burn the objects of worship. So they turn to God, and they turn from idols. But in Thailand, from my experience of serving the Lord in Thailand, and those who still keep the idols tend to go back to the old religious life when they face trials, when they face difficulty in their life because of their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. They tend to go back because they face trials and difficulties in life. But as a mark of genuine conversion, we must throw away our idols in our life. And we must show the submissions and faith to the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life. We must submit ourselves to Him. And we must put our faith and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the mark of a genuine conversion, the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. And the first is evangelism, and my second part is evangelism. The first is discipleship, and the second is evangelism. We should see evangelism as a component of disciple making. Evangelism is not an isolated event, but evangelism is an essential component of discipleship making. So when I go to Thailand, I want to build a bridge of loving and trusting friendship with the Thai people. This is the most effective method in reaching the Thai people. The Thai people, they are relational oriented, rather task oriented. So relationship to the Thai people is very essential. When the missionary or we go to the Thai people and we begin to evangelize to them, and they see the genuine of love and that we truly care for them, they will becoming more open and they will be prepared and ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ into their life. So I believe friendship evangelism is the most effective method in Thailand. And they will not feel that we are there to convert them to Christianity, But we are there because we love them, we trust them, and we care for them. Thailand has been evangelized for almost two centuries, and Thai population is 69 million people, and Thai Buddhist is 93%, and Thai Christian is 0.58%. And the gospel has been most accepted among the marginalized tribal people, and not in Bangkok. That's why my calling is to go to the big city like Bangkok to evangelize the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bangkok has become a very modern city, has become a very materialistic society, and they need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the problem lead one to ask why the gospel had made just little progress among the Thai people. I was interacting with one of my brothers. They said, there are many missionaries in Thailand, but why so little progress? So why little percentage of Christianity in Thailand? So we're going to see the challenge. The challenge in Thai evangelism, the first challenge in evangelizing the Thai people is that the Thai people way of life is different from the Western culture and belief system. Thai Buddhism is essentially a combination of various religious practices. It is intricately mixed with Hinduism, Brahmanism, animism, and ancestor worship, which is called Thai folk Buddhism or Thai practical Buddhism. It is not unusual to see a Thai people go to worship in a Buddha temple and then later on in the same day go to a Hindu shrine and at the same time wearing an animist amulet charm. So the Thai people, they try to incorporate all the religion, Hindu, animism, and Buddhism together. I believe, why is it that it's so hard for the gospel to penetrate into the heart and into the life of the Thai people? I believe it's that the Thai people are proud. They are proud of their cultural heritage. They are proud of their monarchy, the king. They are proud that their country has never been colonized by Western power. So they are very proud. So they feel safe. They feel comfort and secure in their cultural heritage. It is often been said that to be a Thai is to be a Buddhist. And they perceive Christianity as a religion of Westerner. And they do not see the need to change to another religion. They see that all religion is leading to the same destinations. And they believe that all religion teach people to do good and to do good things. So they are proud and they feel very secure. The Thai people will feel secure in their socially accepted Buddhism animist worldview. And for the Thai, for them to step out of that socially accepted worldview is more risky for them. It's risky for the Thai people because they will be labeled as renouncing their king, renouncing their culture, and renouncing their countries. And they will be mistreated and misunderstood by their friends. The second challenge in evangelism, not only they see it as a Western, from the Western culture, but because of misunderstanding of Christian terminology. For a Thai person, Christian term, just as salvation, they don't have the term like salvation. They don't have the term like born again, eternal life, grace, justification. All these have different connotation altogether than we do in the West. Most Thai people do not have a biblical concept of personal sin. The Thai people do not have a concept of a personal God. There is no God. So people ask me, what is Buddhism? Is Buddhism an atheist? I would say, yes, Buddhism is an atheist. They have no concept of God. Because they believe that if God, he is a good God, why does he allow suffering in this world? So if there is suffering in this world, this God must not be a good God. So they try to get rid of the concept of God altogether. Thai Buddhists define sin as an act of bad behavior. They believe that the primary problem of human being does not lie in the sinful human nature inherited from the fall of Adam and Eve, but in one wrongdoing and from bad karma. Therefore, for the Thai people, they perceive sin as an act of bad behavior. It's not that they have inherited from the fall of Adam and Eve. They perceive God as a law of karma, of cause and effect. They believe that God is only the natural law which governs the earth and the heaven and the universe. So they reject the concept of a personal God and salvation as doing good deeds by one's own strength. For the Thai Buddhist concept of salvation is achieved by man's effort in overcoming all these desires through meditations and through self-discipline. So they believe that they can earn their own salvation through self-discipline. They can earn their own salvation through meditation by their own strength, by overcoming all desires. They believe that the suffering in this world that is existing is because of desire, evil desires. So we must get rid of these evil desires through self-discipline and meditation. The Bible tells sin, that all have sinned. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is portrayed in the scripture. Sin is a falling short of God's glory. It's going astray like a wandering sheep. So sin brings hideous effect in our life, not only in our life, but it also affects the people surrounding us, and it affects other people. And the second thing is God. The Bible declared that God is the creator of all things. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God, he is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of the earth. And this God, he incarnated and to become a man. And he died for us. And he loved us. And he longed to have that fellowship with us. So in witnessing to the Thai people, we must start with the concept of God from the Old Testament, especially from the Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, the story of creations, God creation of the earth, God creation of the land, the water, the sky, and mankind. So God has revealed himself through natures. And finally, the God of this universe, he revealed himself through his scripture, the word of God. We can know God's purpose for our life. We can know our beginning. We can know why we exist. And we know our eternity, because it's all written in the word of God. Salvation comes only through believing in the word of God, through Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God, this God, he loved the world. This means he loved us, and he willingly gave his Son to die for us, Jesus Christ, his begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brother and sister, are you excited that we're going to spend eternity with God forever and ever? I always say that this earth is not our home. We are just passing through. But our home is in heaven. And praise the Lord that while we're on this earth, we can know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's love was demonstrated on Calvary when Jesus Christ died for all our sin. He died for all nations. He died for America. He died for the Chinese. He died for the Thai people, the Philippines. He died for all people. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter who you are, if you call upon the name of the Lord from your heart, you will experience God's love and you will become God's child. And God has the power to do that. In my conclusion is the altar from Acts chapter 17, verse 16 to 34. The Apostle Paul was ministering during the second ministry journey in Athens. He observed the objects of worship, and he used this as a starting point in explaining the gospel message to the Athenian. And the Athenian people, they respond to the gospel appropriately. So in like manner, we want to see this kind of response happening in Thailand when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, when they accepted, when they heard the presentation of the gospel message in their life. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it said, "We must understand that our mission is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." So our mission is to open their eyes. They are under the power of Satan. The God of this age has blinded their eye so that they cannot see the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that the Thai people who are in darkness to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. In presenting the gospel, we must realize that we are dealing with spiritual darkness. We are dealing with spiritual warfare. In the cultural worldview, the spiritual darkness of the belief system, the spiritual darkness of animism, the Thai people are deeply rooted in animism for hundreds of years. And this gospel has the power to penetrate it into their life. And this gospel has the power to turn them from spiritual darkness to light and to experience this glorious gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine into their life. So the God of this age has blinded their eye." So we are living in a wicked world. We are living in an evil world. But God has chosen us. God has set us apart to be His own. And praise the Lord, by His grace, we are the recipients of this grace into our life. And we should be thankful to the Lord that we have received this gospel, this glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this gospel has shined into our heart. I came to the United States when I was 7 years old, when my parents came to the United States for higher education. A Christian lady would take my two younger brothers and I to First Baptist Church in downtown Baton Rouge. That was the first time that I was exposed to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was 7, I was in a Sunday school, but I did not come to the saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I went to another country, Singapore, and I lived with other parents, and they bring me to church. I did not accept Jesus Christ, but I heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, when I returned to the state the second time, I accepted Jesus Christ on October 25th, 1985. That's when the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shined into my heart. There was a lady on LSU campus. She approached me excitedly. She said, "The God who created heaven and the earth, He loves you. Just open your eye and receive this love of Jesus Christ into your heart." I said, "Really?" Because all this time I was in religion, meditations, I was tired, I was hopeless, and Jesus Christ, He come to offer the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. You don't have to do anything. Just open up your heart and receive this Jesus Christ into your heart. Ever since then, Jesus Christ is in my heart. I walk with Jesus Christ every day, and I never once turned back to Buddhism. And I thank the Lord that I have found my new faith in Jesus Christ. And lastly, the gospel ministry also needs prayer. We must pray for the open door of ministry. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, Apostle Paul said, "Meanwhile, pray also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond." So the Apostle Paul here, he's not asking for an open door or prison door, but he's praying for an open door of ministry. Praise the Lord, today Thailand, the mission field in Thailand is already ripe for harvest. Missionaries have the freedom to preach in public places, and the Thai people are becoming more open and receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the door of ministry in Thailand is swung wide open. There is no persecution, but we never know when this door is going to be shut. Persecution might come into Thailand. We never know. But now the door is open, and the mission field is ripe for harvest in Thailand. And secondly, pray for more workers. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth workers into the harvest." Jesus made it clear that the calling and the setting forth of the missionary is the primary God work, because he is the Lord of the harvest. But our primary task is to pray that he will call, that he will send forth people of his choosing. We are assured that if we pray, God will send out more missionary out into all the nations, into all the fields. I love the story of Jonah. We see the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty grace of God, that God called Jonah, but he flee to Tarshish, but God called him to Nineveh. He flee God to Joppa, and God caused him to be drowned, sink into the sea. But and in the second chapter, he prayed for the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the fish. He cried to God. Even from there, God can hear his prayer. And in the third chapter, Jonah, he responds to the call of God. And God gave him the second chance to go to Nineveh. And his message is very simple in one phrase. In 40 days, ye shall be destroyed. But because of his preaching, the whole nation of Nineveh turned to God in repentance, from the king and all the way to the animal, put on sackcloth and crying out to God mightily. And we see a national revival break forth in Nineveh. The whole country in one day turned to God. So my prayer is that Thailand in one day will turn to God. It can rise from 0.58%, and Thailand will be a Christian nation and not a Buddhist nation. I would like to quote from David Livingstone, a missionary to Africa. He's very famous. He said, "God send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me, and sever any tie in my heart, except the tie that bind my heart to yours. Oh God, send me anywhere." Another quote of David Livingstone: "God, I'd rather to be in the throne in England, in Africa, rather than in the throne of England." His heart is in Africa. So thank you for your undivided attentions. Thank you for your interest in us and in our ministry. And before I go down, I have a video to show you.
We're so thrilled to have Aruj and Pat as part of our mission family. Our role, of course, is to help missionaries as well as churches that send them to get missionaries to the field, and we have taken a very close look at our relationship and wholeheartedly endorse what they're going to do as they go back to Thailand. We just count it a tremendous joy to be a partner with them and hope you will be as well.
Hello, my name is Steve Gibb, and I'm the area director in the Pacific region where we'll be working with Pat and Aruj in Thailand. It's been a delight to meet them at our candidate school, and their humble spirit, teachable heart has gone a long way in showing to us that they're going to do a great job planting churches in Bangkok. We're just looking forward to working together with them and serving them in every way possible.
Greetings, everybody. Dave Brown. I'm Director of Global Opportunities. I do a lot of training of missionaries, both in the U.S. and overseas. It has been a real pleasure to get to know Aruj and Pat and to see the way that God has wired them and uniquely gifted them for ministry in Thailand generally, but also in Bangkok. They really have a passion and a heart to reach the lost in the cities, a place that a lot of missionaries don't go. Obviously, they're already fluent in the Thai language, they know the Thai culture, they're familiar with American churches and American colleges, and therefore they're a unique blend of both cultures and are really well gifted and prepared from a theological standpoint to do some amazing ministry in Thailand. We would ask for your very careful and prayerful consideration partnering with them in ministry and being able to reap the benefits from a mutual ministry as the years roll forward. So we commend them highly to you.